Indeed, the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
We believe that everybody should be born poor. 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. It's my pleasure. We have Shahara Hyatt dialing in here from Sacramento, California. Shahara Hyatt, the project director for the California Homeless Youth Project. And as always, Shahara Hyatt, welcome to KZFR Without a Roof radio program.
Thank you so much for having me again, Bill. Always great to be on the show. So, yeah, today I just want to start off talking a little bit about the importance of youth voice and youth engagement. Obviously we're talking specifically about young people experiencing homelessness. And I think that one of the phrases that I always draw inspiration from is this idea of nothing about us without us. So we know that in order to make meaningful change in any community, it needs to be led by that community. And that when people who even want to do well don't come from the communities that they hope to serve, a lot of times the solutions that they have don't necessarily match the needs of the community if they aren't working, at the very least, in partnership and alongside with that community. So in Sacramento, as a part of our Homeless Youth Task Force, we have a youth council, or it's kind of a youth action team, and it's young people who are currently or have recently experienced homelessness, many of whom are unsheltered or living in emergency shelters or transitional housing. And so with kind of a wide range of lived experiences relating to homelessness. And one of the things that we're really excited about right now is the National Day of Action that is taking place in partnership with the National Coalition on Homelessness. So in many communities across the country, and including here in Sacramento, the warming centers and the winter sanctuaries close the end of this month, so March 31st. And as a sort of action to raise awareness about that and push back against the kind of increase that we'll see in the number of people experiencing homelessness on the streets, folks across the country are planning different events to draw attention. So in Sacramento, our youth council has been planning a stake down, which is kind of a sleep out, calling for an end to the criminalization of homelessness, the racial inequities in our city, and asking for or demanding meaningful expansion of affordable housing and other options for housing like a safe ground. And we're really excited about this because it's something that's been, really led by young people as partners in action. The event is going to combine arts and activism. There's going to be, an open mic so they can share their talents. There's going to be a Know Your Rights training so that young people can feel more protected and be able to advocate for themselves in all matter of situations. And the Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee is also partnering closely in organizing this event. So we're hoping to see, some awareness raised, also just the tangible support of these young people having a safe place to sleep with volunteers for that night, and, letting people know that people need safe spaces to be, be protected from the elements, from criminalization and from victimization all year round, not just in the winter months.
Yeah, shout out for drilling down on that, because we had Nikki Jones on last week's program, and she talked a bit about that Stakedown Shakedown that's happening the weekend of April 1st, which is like, gosh, yeah, that's next week, not this weekend, next weekend. Man, time is flying.
Yep, April 1st. So people can look online too at the National Coalition for Homelessness to learn more about that day of action that's sort of a national movement, and see if there's any events happening in your community or plan those events. And of course, in partnership with people experiencing homelessness.
So Shahar, I know from interviewing Nikki that you are in Washington, D.C. What's up in Washington? Give us a scoop.
Yeah, I was in Washington, D.C. for the National Network for Youth Conference on Youth Homelessness. And that was for a couple of days, and we kind of got to talk about the national landscape right now, which, no surprise to anybody, is pretty horrific. I did a presentation specifically, or a workshop, on college students experiencing homelessness, and then also just tried to really elevate the issue of the criminalization of homelessness to the national dialogue. And I think at the national level, a lot of our federal agencies, you know, agree that punishing people for sleeping outside when they have no other options is cruel, and it's not an approach that we want to see communities take. But at the local level, that is the approach that a lot of cities and counties are taking to try to, you know, push people out of sight, you know, really not do anything to address homelessness, but actually it harms people. So one of the nice things from that was every year at this conference, the federal agency folks who come, they make a commitment around youth homelessness and what they'll do in the upcoming year. So by talking about that issue of the criminalization of homelessness, Matthew Doherty, the director of the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, agreed to commit to doubling down on efforts to promote alternatives to the criminalization of homelessness. So they've done some publications in the past, and I think that they want to continue to elevate that issue from a national perspective to try to help communities make more meaningful options for people, you know, in terms of long-term affordable housing and other temporary solutions, and that just having the criminalization of homelessness is, as they say, a high-cost, low-yield strategy, right? It's really costly for communities, and it really does nothing to address the problem, and it hurts people.
Yeah, it's such a cold term in a way. It's a lot of these terms they come up with are so dehumanizing. Alternatives to criminalizing people for sleep.
I know.
It's like, isn't it crazy? It's crazy. What were some of the alternatives they were talking about?
He didn't address like the specifics in that talk about those alternatives. I mean, for me, I have certainly lots of ideas. I always think that too. You know, having street outreach workers, you know, funding that well, you know, to be first responders and to be the conduits to housing and services or to people meeting people's basic needs is a much better solution than having law enforcement play that role. For me, the alternative to criminalizing, right, is first of all, we have to repeal any of these laws that penalize people for their housing status, that, you know, attack folks for what is human behavior and not at all criminal behavior, and we need to do a better job of funding housing and supportive services.
Like you had said at the beginning, Shahar, you had mentioned this once again, Shahar Hyatt from California Homeless Youth Project. But you talked about so many different reasons people could be, like, without a place to stay. I mean, there's mm-hmm. just tons and tons of reasons. But in a way, to me, especially as it relates to youth, we use this term supportive housing. So I've worked with a tremendous amount of youth and friended a tremendous amount of youth. There certainly are youth that need supportive housing. And for folks that don't understand supportive housing, that might be mental health services, some criminal justice service, you know, services to help, you know, lift the youth up. But I've worked with a tremendous amount of youth. I don't want to put a percentage on it. Are just like, well, I just need a job, or I just need someplace to be, or
yeah,
my mom kicked me out. You know, what would you say around that?
Yeah, I think that's why it's so important that there be a continuum of options. You know, it's not a homogenous community. There's kind of different levels of support needed depending on the individual's experience. So, yeah, you know, sometimes if people have more serious, maybe like health or mental health or substance use issues, you know, having more like wraparound supportive housing is going to be necessary. But like you said, for a lot of people, yeah, maybe it's an economic issue. Maybe they aren't able to live with their families for various reasons, and they just want to be able to work and, you know, be able to afford market rate rent, which is unfortunately really, really difficult. So, you know, there's this expression in the field that's kind of, you want to be the lightest touch possible. So you don't want to give people more than what is necessary. You want to kind of have like the right match for housing and services, you know, according to what they need. And in order to know what they need, you got to ask them. So just like people's priorities. If it's just, you know, you need employment help or career counseling type of stuff, resume building, connections to employers, you know, that's one thing, but you also probably need a safe place to be living while you're looking for work, because it can be really difficult to be living outside and not have that option. So even to have like a transitional housing program while young people can get on their feet and secure like a longer term option and also employment, you know, that's usually, yeah, a best practice.
Well, I can't remember this story, and shout out to James. Who knows? Maybe he's hearing this. He's doing Job Corps down in Sacramento. But Shahari, he's doing a youth program at one of the centers here that I was running. And he was sleeping outside the door, so he wasn't late. But I'll never forget the look on his face when he says to me, he's just graduated from high school. He says, I just wish high school would have taught me what I needed to know to live in society. It's spot on, you know? And
Definitely. And all young people deserve to be supported in that way. And I think we need to do a better job, you know, as societies, as a community, as an education system, to make sure that young people actually have, you know, the resources that they need, both in terms of just kind of like that knowledge, but then also being able to meet their basic needs. Because, you know, for so many of the young people that we work with, it's like, you know, you can't solve the education and employment needs if people don't have their basic needs met. You know, people are hungry and don't have a place to sleep and don't have, you know, clothing and things like that. So we need all of it. And being in D.C., you know, Trump's budget plan was just released, and so there's been a lot of talk in this field around the potential harmful impact for both people experiencing homelessness and people that might be on the edge of experiencing homelessness.
So maybe do a little plug. You know, Shahara, I just got off the phone this morning with Ed Mayer, the executive director of the Housing Authority of Butte, and we covered that for like 8 minutes, just specific to Butte County. So I'd really like to get some words around what's going on in SAC. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, to kind of summarize a sort of bigger picture of it, right, that, you know, Trump is proposing kind of massive budget cuts, particularly to the safety net, and a significant increase in military spending or in defense programs. And since I kind of do state-level work, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that California stands to lose more federal dollars than any other state, you know, with cuts significantly impacting seniors, people with disabilities, families, youth, and people experiencing homelessness, and many, many other groups. Specifically, he's proposed a $6 billion cut to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So, of course, that's the agency that, you know, coordinates a national response to housing and homelessness. So to have their budget reduced by 13% is devastating. Even flat funding would be painfully felt by communities who, you know, benefit from investment in housing and responses to homelessness, which is all of us. And that the plans to eliminate, you know, HUD programs entirely or make drastic cuts to others of their programs is potentially life-altering for people who rely on, you know, rental assistance or emergency shelter or after-school programs or legal aid or, you know, these kinds of things. And there's a lot that we need to say to push back and make sure that, you know, our communities have the support and resources that they need.
Thinking about it, as you mentioned it, the way you worded it, Shahara, is I think we really need to push back on time out. I don't want to deal with this anymore. You just keep cutting our budget. You're cutting a budget, and we already are like massively underfunded to begin with. And then you people are going to turn around 5 years from now going, well, you haven't been successful. Well, like, right, of course we haven't been successful. You're not giving us enough money and resources and actual, you know, guidance and support to do it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, when programs are underfunded, that's one of the biggest challenges to success, I think. And that, you know, I think for a lot of HUD programs, they actually are quite effective. And so to make the choice to cut that funding for people that are just living on the edge, it's bad news for the communities of people that we belong to and that we love.
It sure is, isn't it? You know, anyone that's listening that thinks that after school programs don't make an impact or Meals on Wheels, you know, obviously they haven't been out there talking with these people, because it makes a dramatic impact. Well, thanks as always, Shahara Hyatt. It was nice to do a longer form piece.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Without a Roof Radio program, it's made possible by the generous contributions of KGFR supporters and by our friendly neighbor, Chico Paper Company, a family-owned cornerstone of downtown Chico for over 40 years. Located at 4th and Broadway, Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing studio and art gallery showing the largest selection of local and regional artists. Chico Paper Company can be reached by calling 891-0900 or on the web at chicopapercompany.com.
This This is Jess Candela, facilitator of the Butte County Youth Advisory Council. I'm really glad to be hosting today's program of Without a Roof. We'll be focusing today on the Butte County Youth Advisory Council, and we'll have an interview with one of its members. The Butte County Youth Advisory Council is made up of youth between the ages of 14 and 24 who have experience with poverty, homelessness, incarceration, or foster care. The mission of the council is to develop the well-being skills, leadership skills, and empowerment skills for its members. We also aim to connect with local agencies and organizations in order to develop more culturally competent resources for other youth in similar situations, as well as to share the youth's experiences with homelessness or poverty or incarceration or foster care, and open up more of a positive dialogue between these youth and local agencies. Today on our show, we'll have Josh and Haley. Josh is a mentor to the Butte County Youth Advisory Council, and Haley is one of its members. And Haley will talk about her experiences with homelessness, as well as her presentation at the Greater Chico Homeless Task Force meeting today.
My name is Haley Sherman, and I am 22 years old.
What is the Youth Advisory Council?
Okay, the Youth Advisory Council is a group of youth members who they are here to have a voice in the politics and what goes on, just what's going on with homelessness and, you know, just their perspective, I guess.
And there's, as we all know, like a lot of homeless youth in Chico and Butte County right now.
There's a ton of homeless youth in Butte County and Chico. I love the part of this council that it also, it's not only homeless youth, but it's runaway, and it's if you've been incarcerated as well as foster care. I think that's really encompassing, more than just what people think, like sleeping on the street.
Yeah, because it's a whole set of troubles and traumas and,
right,
and you know, things to overcome with all of those situations. What interested you in it?
What interested me in this council was that I was homeless multiple times growing up, and that I want to be an advocate. That's my biggest thing with all of my different jobs, is that I didn't have one, and I think it's really important. You know, you don't know how to do things when you're young. You think you do. You really do. You think that you are just God's gift to the world, and you know, don't tell me what to do. But the thing is, you don't know how to balance your taxes. You don't know how to run your checkbook or to get a bank account. So what are you? How are you supposed to learn these things if you don't have the right? The right tools and the right people on your side, people who have been through it, because you don't want people, especially if they haven't gone through it, telling you what to do. You don't know my life, you know, don't tell me what to do, kind of thing. So if you've gone through it and you can really talk to them from your heart, like, it's a different perspective, I think. I think everything has to do with perspectives and where you come from. So that's why I was interested in it.
Mm-hmm. And you just spoke to the Greater Chico Homeless Task Force today at the City Building, right?
I did.
How was that?
Talking to the Greater Chico Homeless Task Force was awesome. It's amazing to see how many different people and organizations come together. Like, you hear of the main ones in Chico, like the Jesus Center and the Taurus Center. Those are the ones I hear of mostly as a child development specialist. But it's nice to see the Tiny House Project and the Tiny House Club. I didn't even know existed. So these things coming together in Chico, things that you don't even know that are going on that need to be publicized more than, I mean, not a lot of people read newspapers anymore, but they still have this cool little newspaper now. So we need to find out another way for all of these different organizations to be shown and supported.
What one thing do you think needs to happen right now to try to just help alleviate some of the youth homelessness and the problems of youth being on the streets?
Youth being on the streets, I think there needs to be a shelter for the youth. I know that has so many different strings and red tape, but it is so important. If you can't go anywhere and, you know, you're having a hard time, you have abusive parents or you're in an abusive relationship and you don't have people to talk to or that you trust, where are you supposed to go? There's literally no safe place, and that's not okay.
Yeah.
They need somewhere to go. I know that if they run away, it could be like kidnapping and all these other things, but there's got to be some way that we help them other more than not doing anything, letting them sleep on the street.
Yeah.
Or possibly getting into something worse by, you know, like, I'll do X, Y, and Z to get a place to stay.
Yeah.
That's going to put them, you know, closer into jail and into worse situations.
Yeah.
What is the point of that?
Yeah.
It's not helping them, and it's not helping our community.
Yeah. So. Can't you judge a community by how well they treat their children and how well they treat, you know, those who aren't at the top of the ladder?
Absolutely. I think that how a community raises their children is how they see their future. Our children, I know it's a cliche, our children are our future. We are raising our next generation. And I think that it's also really important to know that having kids isn't just something to do. It's hardball. It's, you know, 18 years. It's not a puppy. It's not a goldfish. It's a child. And you need to raise this person to be an actual citizen who's gonna, and you know, everybody says, oh, let's just pay taxes, you just need your money. No, we need this person to do more than that. We need these people to be, you know, raised right, so then they can raise the next generation, so there can be a next generation. Because if we keep having, you know, the world go the way it is, and I'm not gonna get too political, but it's not gonna last. I think finding a way for people to get empathy and understanding is the question of the century. Unless you've been in that experiences, you don't understand it. You look at it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it as they did it themselves. Mm-hmm. It's more of a blaming thing. Mm-hmm. It's not. It doesn't have to do it with this circumstances. They happened to this person, mm-hmm. and this person may not have options. It's like, oh, well, why don't they do this? And it's, what, you know, but they don't understand that that's not easy.
Yeah.
They don't have that perspective.
Yeah, you've had that experience. Like, what would you tell people that they don't understand, that they're not getting?
I think that being a child and being an adolescent, being a youth, is hard. People don't get that. They're like, oh, you know, you're just so young, it gets harder. But the thing is it's hard. This is not just people quitting their jobs and, oh, I'm going to live on the street. This is things like happening to them. They try to get jobs. What do you expect them to do? You're going to give them $20 and they're going to go out and buy a throw rug with it? What do you expect them to do with it? They don't, you know, I think a lot of stigma has to do with drugs. And I also know about that because my parents are drug addicts. And that's why I was homeless for a lot of my life. So it's a sensitive subject with me. So if I think somebody's doing drugs or has done drugs or looks like a drug addict, it makes me so uncomfortable, I won't even talk to them. But that's my bias and that's my problem. And I got to figure that out too, because I don't want to judge people. But at the same time, that's my personal. And if I lash out at them, that's not because of them. That's because of me and my experiences. So I really have to, I think the more people you share with, I don't want it to be a pity party, but I want people to understand that it's not you know, help me, please, I don't know what I'm doing. It's these people are fighting, but they're fighting in a deep pit that people just keep shoving dirt on them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no way out unless somebody reaches down and gives you a hand. And I know that is another cliche, but it's true. There's no way of getting out of somewhere if you don't have the resources, the funding, after-school programs, early intervention. There's so many different things that may seem overrated.
All the things that they're trying to cut now, I'm trying to get rid of. And, yeah.
I can't imagine how much the homeless population will grow in numbers of families if they cut after-school programs, because people will have to pay for those. People will have to cut hours. People will lose their jobs. Families will become homeless just because of after-school programs alone.
No.
I can't imagine more than that.
Oh, and I think about all the kids that only go to school because they're getting fed, you know?
Like, absolutely. I was one of those children.
Yeah, exactly.
I was absolutely one of those children.
Right.
Like your previous question, how do we spread awareness? Is maybe, that's like such a hard question. I want to say, because I am a student, that I look at research. I look at data, like the ACEs study. That's mind-blowing. I don't know if you guys have seen that study.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's been out for a while. It's not new. This is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why has nobody done more about this? Why hasn't this been in schools? Why hasn't there been more early intervention based on the ACEs study alone?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the research is out there. Nobody's doing anything with it. So I know it's another thing, but it's the people upstairs who, you know, got their nice little suit on. It doesn't affect them. Yeah. They don't care. Yeah. It's just like global warming. It's just like, you know, our presidency. It's all these things. They don't really affect them right now. And they don't think of all of our children as their future because they'll be dead. Their grandchildren, oh, yeah, I want my you know, line to survive. But at the same time, it doesn't affect them.
How about a parting thought to any youth that might be listening? What do you think about them getting involved?
I think they should most definitely get involved. This is your voice. This is, I mean, I'm one person, and there's all these other people who are involved, but it's not necessarily complete without the people who are currently homeless or recently homeless or been homeless or struggling with any type of incarceration. I know the kids that I work with at the juvenile hall, I'm definitely going to tell them about this when they get out, that they have resources, they have people to talk to. If nothing else, just to feel some camaraderie, just to know that you're not alone, and that you can fight out of that hole. We are here for you. I know everybody says that, you're not alone, but it's so true. We all have this egocentric view that this only happens to me and nobody else understands. But the thing is so many people understand, nobody's talking about it. We just need to talk about it.
The Butte County Youth Advisory Council meets on the first and third Tuesdays of every month at 6th Street Center for Youth. Any youth between the ages of 14 and 24 who have experiences with homelessness, poverty, incarceration, or foster care is welcome to join. The Butte County Youth Advisory Council is lucky enough to have a grant to help jumpstart our program. However, monetary donations are welcomed to fund the remainder of our program. To get more info on how to provide a monetary donation, please email the Butte County Runaway and Homeless Youth Task Force. The email is bcrhytf@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Butte County Youth Advisory Council on the Without a Roof program. Please like us on Facebook at BC Youth Advisory Council to find out more of what we'll be doing. And thanks to Bill Mash for letting us host this radio show. And have a good evening.
All right, that about wraps up the March 29th edition of the Without a Roof radio program. And I'm going to leave you with a couple of clips from next week, a couple of snippets. We have Executive Director of the Housing Authority of Butte County, Ed Mayer. And we also have next week Dr. Robert Marbot, who is here on an invite from the Jesus Center, doing some consulting work around the issue of homelessness. All right, that about wraps up the Housing Authority of Butte County, Ed Mayer. And we also have next week Dr. Robert Marbot, who is here on an invite from the Jesus Center, doing some consulting work around the issue of homelessness here in Butte County. So be sure to stay tuned next week. And if you have a roof, be grateful. Follow us, WOAROOF.TOMBLR.com.
Well, currently, we've received notice from HUD that we should expect to receive somewhere in the neighborhood of 95% of what we normally receive for monies used to assist with payments of rental assistance for our clients. So if we're backing off 5% for the year, that means that we started the year at 100% program size, about 2,100 households. We have to end up the year at 90% in order to achieve a 95% average for the year. So that means we're not leasing it all right now. Since December, we have not issued any new vouchers. Voucher holders on the street, that's it. And we won't be issuing any vouchers for at least 6 months this year and possibly the entire year.
Speaking of that, you've been back in Chico. You've been here a few days. Why don't you give us a little bit of context around, you know, what's been going on?
Well, I'm trying to go out and figure out sort of what's next. What's the vision for the future? And since I was here last time and since you and I've talked before, the federal issues are really overtaking everybody across the country. I mean, that's not unique to Chico. And the comments Ed made earlier are right on. This is going to become such a crisis very, very fast. And even people who don't understand there's a problem now will visually start to see a problem.
Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening. And if you have